1887, the United States Congress, after a successful petition by the National Women's History Project, decreed that the month of March would be forever honored as Women's History Month. We still have a long way to go, but nevertheless, this month we celebrate women's contributions to culture, history, and society. To mark the occasion, Fireside Mystery Theater found it the perfect opportunity to release a special series of episodes written exclusively by a captivating cadre of fantastic women writers. The first in this series of releases, Hercule Meets His Maker, is a tale that breezily skips back and forth between fact and fantasy. It was recorded on February 25th, 2018 at The Slipper Room in New York City.
It is a cold night in December, the year 1926. Listen closely. We will soon find ourselves privy to an occasion of some importance, not of world history, but rather a history of a more personal nature, a moment in one person's history that will in some ways affect many generations to come. The newspapers in nearly every nation on earth are running headlines proclaiming the disappearance of a certain woman. Armies of detectives and policemen have searched in vain, and even the famed creator of Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, has secured one of her gloves, taking it to a spirit medium with hopes of locating the vanished lady. The only thing found up to this moment is an abandoned car parked not far from her home, and a coat belonging to her, found lying on the ground nearby, her identification cards and a few other items scattered about it. There's a terrible chill in the air. Why would she leave her coat behind in such a manner? There is one thing, though. Curiously, the missing woman posted two letters before she vanished. Indeed, no one can find her, which makes a certain amount of sense, since this woman's métier is as a maker of mysteries, one of the finest artisans of enigmas the world has ever known. She has eluded the bravest, the wisest, the most cunning of pursuers. But guess what? For you, and for you alone, I can reveal something, a room. A plain and lonely room, not the most glorious of hiding places, but...
Oh. Mercy, what on earth? It is 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, what do you want? Oh, did you hear me? I say, who's there? What do you want? Oh, all right. Then damn bloody pillock. Give me a moment, will you? A moment's peace. That's all this woman wants. A moment's... Yes. What? What? Who are you?
Madame, you do not recognize me?
Should I?
But of course!
I will give you to the count of three. Afterward, I shall call the constable.
Why would you do such a thing? You know of my profession, eh?
I demand that you leave at once.
I entreat you, madame, to inspect me closer. Still, you do not see who stands before you? It is I, madame.
Go away. I do not know you, and it is late.
Madame, I am here to help you.
Help me?
I have appointed myself as your beacon in your darkest hour of despair. You really don't know me then, eh?
I don't know anyone who dresses as you do. Your clothes are as loud as a bullhorn, and that ridiculous moustache, and your preposterous French accent.
French! French! Madame, Hercule Poirot is Belgian. You know this.
What did you say?
My presence should be more familiar to you than anyone else in the world, Madame Christie.
Oh, this is a joke. And I'm afraid you have the wrong address. I'm Miss Neal.
Oh, but that is what you wish everyone else to believe, eh, Miss Neal? You've been most clever in deceiving the world, but you must realize that there is no way you could ever elude me, madam. My art and your art are one in the same. And at the expense of humility, we are its two greatest practitioners. May I enter?
No, but you may leave at once.
That I can do, but also I can alert the authorities of your whereabouts.
What do you want?
Please, let me pass, Madame Christie.
I've already solved this riddle, sir. You are an admirer of my work, an especially cheeky admirer. You really fancy my most recent novel, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, so you've put on this to
what end? What would I hope to gain by doing such a thing? For that you have no answer, eh, madame? Pardonnez-moi. Would you be so kind as to take my umbrella?
I will do no such thing. You can take your umbrella and...
Such harsh language, madame.
What sort of charade is this? I'll admit, with a measure of some reluctance, this get-up of yours is fairly close to the way I imagined him.
Who?
Poirot! If someone were to portray Hercule Poirot on the stage, that person would look very much like you. The bald, egg-shaped head, the curled, waxed moustache, and those horrid, gaudy spats. It's a pity. The best of impersonators are always the worst of actors, and you, sir, are nothing but the former.
I will happily indulge Madame's delusion and endure your slings and arrows in exchange for a brief moment of your time. You remain doubtful, but I am here only to help you. You must understand I come here as a representative of your better judgment.
Oh, I have no time for this charade.
It is no charade on my part. It is you who plays the game, madame. Oui, I am the great detective. I am me, je suis moi. But I am you, and you are me.
What the bloody hell do you want?
Allow me to turn the question in the other direction. What do you want? You have spent the last 9 days, is it, here in this room with a particular dilemma. You are overcome with dread that there is no solution to this dilemma.
How
could I know? Ah, madame, certainly you understand. If there is someone who can get inside of that very fortified head of yours, it is I, for it was inside your head where I was born.
I give up. Insanity. Pure insanity. You may be a better actor than I estimated. May as well have a drink. I think we both need a drink.
A drink?
Yes. What of it?
Madame does not drink. You never have. I know better than anyone else.
Well, I've been giving it a go this week after all I've been through. I have this bottle of sherry. I nicked it from my husband's cellar.
Forgive my bluntness, madame, but it does not suit a lady such as yourself. The drinking of alcohol.
Be a good chap and have a glass with me.
Only if you insist.
Give me a moment. I need to find another glass. I believe it's over here somewhere.
I will drink with you, but under some protest.
Ah, here it is. Be patient, monsieur.
You do not have creme de menthe, I take it? No matter. As you wish.
Here we are. Now then. Here you are, sir.
Merci beaucoup.
To your health.
Yes, to my health.
Down the hatches, they say.
Madame, normally I admire your cleverness.
Cleverness?
You are one of the world's great authorities of toxins and poisons. But as you have just demonstrated now, you are hopelessly sloppy at administering them yourself.
What are you saying?
Here's to your health, but not really to mine, eh?
You're daft, man.
It's too early for my bedtime, Madame Christie. I hate to refuse such an elegant sherry, but I prefer it when it is not mixed with strange powders.
I...
You only perform a disservice by perpetuating this fiction, madame.
It was just a smidge. A little sleeping powder.
You could be rid of me.
Pray tell me how and let me be rid of you.
You wound me, madame. But I will persist in my insistence that you allow me to find the solution to your turmoil.
You try my patience, monsieur. This simply cannot be. All right, then. For the sake of argument, Let's say you are my creation, a character in a book, my book, a character drawn from my imagination. What would people say if I told them? They would say I was ready for a padded cell. Perhaps I am ready for a padded cell.
No, ma chérie, you are not insane. And you are reasonably sober, I believe. The reason I appear before you now is that I would like, in my small way, to repay a great debt to you. You have given the world its greatest detective, moi. But I digress. I have come to aid you in your greatest dilemma, and I will not be denied. Our very lives depend on it.
Are all Belgians this dramatic? And what do you mean by our lives?
Please, Agatha, humor me. Do me the great favor to accompany me to the hotel library.
And why should I do such a thing?
Follow me, or I will alert the authorities. Come, it is for your own good, not just mine.
Very well, lead on.
Très bien. Let us descend the stairs for a little spot of tea, as you English say. Are you not coming with me?
Why should I? The whole place is black as pitch and the staff are asleep, as I should be. Your party has ended before it has begun. Good night, my imaginary Belgian.
Ah, but you are mistaken. Regardez-vous. Come with me.
Oh. No. No, this is terrible. You've deceived me, you wretched little Belgian. You've called together the hounds of hell, these newspaper people.
My dear lady, please calm yourself. We are not members of the press by any measure.
Who are you, confounded people, then?
We are not here to expose your anguish to the world. We only wish to help. Oh, dear me, do forgive my lapse in manners, most unlike me. Allow me to introduce myself, Miss Jane Marple of St. Mary Mead.
Who?
I say, you've got to be pulling our legs. She's a crackerjack sleuth if ever there was one. And I'm no slouch either when it comes to detecting. You know, for a dear old nosy Parker, she's
Tommy,
rather...
Tommy, please! You've said more than enough. Oh, please accept my apologies, Miss Marple. My silly husband meant no disrespect.
Apology accepted, my dear. But really, the way this younger generation speaks, most unseemly.
I must beg your forgiveness too, Mrs. Christie. I failed to make introductions for myself and my adorable foot-in-mouth husband. We are Tuppence and Tommy Beresford, and the founders of our very own detective agency. Oh, please let me serve you a cup of tea and some cake.
And I am Mr. Parker Pine, dear lady. I am the odd fellow in this assemblage, as I'm not a detective, really. But I am most certainly no human nature in all of my clients' little quirks. I have a most unusual occupation in that I always give my clients a satisfaction in their lives and the adventure they so desire. I never fail.
Quite interesting, but improbable. A room full of complete nutters professing the ability to help me when I have no solution myself. I shall retire to Bedlam. My room. Good night, all.
Please, to close the door, Hastings. You will stay, Agatha. And we will solve your very intimate mystery tonight.
Sir, I demand you let me pass.
Frightfully sorry, ma'am.
I'm too exhausted to argue any further. If I tell you what prompted my bolt, will you agree to let me return to my room? I was recently informed by my cad of a husband that he no longer loved me and demanded a divorce. I knew that he was having a dalliance with a lady named Nancy Neal. No, not a lady. Even the title of woman is too inappropriate. My upbringing forbids me to use the word bitch. Oh my, forgive me, it just slipped out. I pleaded with him to give our marriage another go, and he agreed. Then last week he informed me that he'd be spending the weekend with friends, and I was not invited. The rotten equivocator. I knew it was an assignation with that harlot. Further attempts at salvaging our marriage were futile. I'm a broken shell of a woman without the love of Archie. My life is devoid of meaning, and so I ran. It didn't matter where. Nothing matters anymore.
Bravo! Bravo!
Bravo! Why are you cheering? What's the meaning of this?
Quite the performance dramatique, ma chérie.
A most assuredly sad situation you found yourself in. But that is not why you ran. You insult us with such obvious prevarications, my dear. Have another cup of tea, and this time, do not attempt to deceive us.
But that was the truth.
I may be a nosy Parker, as someone called me earlier. Most inappropriate. But I know a falsehood when I hear one.
Righto, Miss M. I quite agree. That was a whopper. By the way, sorry about that nosy Parker bit of nonsense.
Tommy! I'm so sorry, Agatha. He may have put it in a frightfully awful way, but in essence, he spoke the truth.
You see, ma chérie, you cannot pull over the eyes the wool. We know you as well as we know ourselves.
Oh, balderdash.
Mais non, not the balderdash on our part, but yours.
I'm besieged on all sides. Have you nothing to add, Mr. Pine, Mr. Hastings?
Sorry, but that's Captain Hastings. And as Poirot's irreplaceable right-hand man, I feel intuitively that you are being perfidious.
Hastings, you are my friend, but you elevate yourself too greatly. My little grey cells need no help. Jamais. Jamais.
Ah, yes, I do apologize. I recognize that the enormity of your intellect only takes a back seat to your conceit.
Oh, mon Dieu. Sirs, I suggest you put these petty disagreements aside and attend to the matter at hand.
D'accord. You are correct. Forgive me.
I'm afraid I got carried away. Dreadfully sorry.
Good. Now to the heart of the matter. We are all aware that you sent a spurious letter to the chief constable stating that you were in fear for your life. Obviously, you wanted your husband under a cloud of suspicion concerning your disappearance and possible death.
Woman to woman, Agatha, that was an act of pure spite and not love. Not a way to win a man back.
Apt to make me run rather fast to the other woman.
I'd break your legs first, Tommy dear.
My darling, I'd never look at another woman. But back on topic. Agatha, you ditched your car, coat, and sundry belongings. The coppers scoured the countryside and even dragged a pond looking for your corpus delicti. Your aim was to put the noose around old Archie's neck.
All right! So I was upset. But I wouldn't have let him hang. Perhaps convict him, but not hang him. I must admit, that cheered me to no end when I thought of the anguish Archie and that doxy Nancy would suffer.
So, now we approach closer to the truth. Speak openly to us.
Oh. It had promised to be a banner year. The murder of Roger Ackroyd was a smashing success. I was at the top of my game. I was recognized. But then things began to unravel so precipitously. My dear mother, my rock, the one who encouraged my talent, passed away. I was desolate. Then Archie's wanting to leave just left me adrift. It was too much to bear.
All that is quite sad, my dear. But that's not why you ran. You remind me very much of Mrs. Whippenpoof, our village blacksmith's wife. She attempted to do away with herself by swallowing a large bottle of purgatives. Never the most intelligent of women. A neighbor found her in time, but what a terribly embarrassing mess. Literally, she'd made of herself and the bed linens. Oh, most untidy, not to mention mortifying. She'd sent a note to the vicar explaining that her husband had been infatuated with the banker's wife and had lost all affection for her. It was just too painful for her to carry on.
Yeah, of course, it wasn't true. I'm sure the banker's wife didn't give two jots for the blacksmith.
Oh, no, she was quite correct.
Oh, good Lord.
No, what put her over the edge was the loss of her beautiful singing voice. She was the pride of our little church choir, always the soloist. It was quite sudden. What seemed like an ordinary cold left her vocal cords damaged. Her beautiful voice was her pride and identity. And when she lost that, she lost what she held most dear.
Do you see the parallel, Agatha? Is it not clear to you? We all here can see it.
No, You're all wrong. Can't you see? It's not the same.
No, but something very nearly like it, my dear.
Madam, if there's one thing I've learned in my occupation is that veracity to yourself affords satisfaction and freedom in life. To gain this, you must face your fears and put them to rest once and for all. It is as simple as that.
We are all gathered in this room to uncover the truth. This is what you have taught me and will someday teach the others here. Your very life, and yes, all of ours, will depend on what you tell us here tonight. Speak now.
Unburden yourself, my dear, for I fear our time grows short.
Please, dear Agatha, there's so much I wish to do.
As do I, dear Tuppence. With you.
More tea, anyone?
All right. You win. My head is spinning and I don't understand what you're saying. I'm not God. I am, or was, just a writer. You all seem to have somehow got into my mind and are able to intuit my thoughts and feelings. I'll start at the beginning. I married quite young and quickly. It was a great war. Archie was such a dashing figure, and I adored him. But we were very different people, and after a few years I knew I had made a terrible mistake. He was a colossal bore. But I was determined to stick it out, for better or worse. Then he suddenly announced he wanted to divorce me. Me! I was stunned. It wasn't as heartbreaking as it was humiliating. I, who had strived to be the perfect wife and mother. But mother, there was my true heartbreak. It was she who had encouraged my writing from a young age. She made me believe that I had the gift. You mustn't think I don't adore my daughter. I do. But writing was my identity. When mother died, I found I could no longer find the words to put to paper. I was lost. I came here in a futile attempt to find my way back to my beloved craft. But there's nothing there anymore. Hercule, or whomever you are, when you knocked on my door, I had already decided to end the futility and return home and return to my pre-war work in the hospital pharmacy. No more scribbling for me. So, my dears, now you know all. But you must promise to keep my story secret. I couldn't bear for anyone else to know.
No. I, for one, will not remain silent.
Nor I.
Nor I.
Nor I.
Certainly not.
Impossible.
This is how you reward the truth.
No.
I hate you all.
No, ma chérie. Ma maman, you do not hate us. You have created us. You give us our personalities, intellect, our very souls. It is you who give us life.
I don't understand, damn you. What on earth do you mean? I don't know any of you. How is it that a group of strangers...
We are not strangers. We are your children, waiting yet to be born. Not in the corporeal sense, but rather the intellectual.
This is insanity. I've got to get out of here.
Please, please let us live. You have us and all our wonderful adventures in that beautiful, creative and marvelously murderous mind of yours.
She's right, old bean. It's do or die for us. If you leave this room the way you are now, we're finished, once and for all.
Miss Christie, you were born to write. It's not only your destiny, but ours and countless other characters you will conjure up in the years to come. It will provide you with satisfaction and adventure. Dear lady, I guarantee it.
Oui. Can you not imagine how terrible the world would be without the power of my little gray cells? No world's greatest detective? Oh, quel dommage.
I say, could you make him a little more self-effacing?
We are done here, ma chérie. We have done our best to make our case. Look at us all once more before you exit the room. Our very fates lie in your hands. We are not just your children, but we can become your closest and most loyal of friends. Here, Madame Christie, a parting gift for you. This lovely fountain pen. Madame?
What is this strange feeling I have? This very moment, I... Do you believe in déjà vu, sir?
No, that is superstitious rubbish. Here, take it. The pen, ma chérie.
Very well. Thank you.
Oh, ma'am. Oh. You're up quite early.
Oh.
I didn't mean to startle you, ma'am.
Where did they... Oh, suddenly, they're gone.
Who's gone, Miss Neal? I say, who's gone, Miss Neal?
Oh, never mind.
Can I get you anything, Miss Neal? Miss Neal?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you can. Would you be so kind as to fetch me some paper? Lots of paper. And my name isn't Neal, by the way. It's Christie. Agatha Christie.
And that was Hercule Meets His Maker. Hercule Poirot was played by James Kleinman. Miss Marple was played by Rashmi Singh. Tommy was played by Alan LaForest. Tuppence was played by Katie LaForest. Parker Pine was played by Michael Pate. Captain Hastings was played by James Reeser. The maid was played by Lauren Elder. David Linton did the narration. And the part of Agatha Christie was played by me, Ali Silva. Hercule Meets His Maker was written by Mary Rodriguez, based on a concept of mine. It was directed by Holly Payne Strange. The Female of the Species was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score was improvised by Brad Whiteley. Our sound effects engineer was Sean Haggerty. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Did you know that an easy rating and review on Apple Podcasts is not just a nice sentiment, it also helps to raise our visibility and gives us much-needed support. Other easy ways to support? Subscribe! Like us on Facebook. We can be fun to follow on Instagram and Twitter, where our handle is @FiresideMystery. So, there's swag, and then there's swag. We've got swag for days at FiresideMysteryTheater.com/merch. How good would you look in an official Fireside Mystery Theater t-shirt or hoodie? Cuddle up with an FMT throw pillow, place a handy FMT tote bag on your shoulder. All of these things and more can be purchased from our merch store, FiresideMysteryTheater.com/merch. We'll keep you posted on upcoming sales. This just in. You don't want to miss our next live show, The Secret Files of Nellie Bly, on Sunday, March 25th at 5 p.m. Here's the scoop. Do you live in or plan on visiting the New York City area? Yes? Well, then you have a chance to experience the unique thrill of a live Fireside Mystery Theater show at the gorgeous and mysterious Slipper Room. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. A ghostly melody captivates a curious journalist and draws her into the heart of a strange mystery in our next chilling installment, Encore in the East Village. Available wherever you find your podcasts. This is your own Ali Silva. There are so many amazing women to admire whose imagination and creativity knows no bounds, but especially so for those who have known to mind the shadows.